The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off as we do every day with our afternoon update, catching you up on all that has happened today. Joining me, David Hall, the CEO of iCare Housing and of Lifeline Services, and Niamh O'Reilly, the freelance journalist. You're both very, very welcome. Thanks a million for coming into studio. David, let me ask you about the Gardaí, because in a few minutes' time, Paul Williams is going to be here to talk about the GRA, the Garda Representative Association. Their annual conference is happening. Drew Harris and Helen McEntee not in attendance. So we'll chat a bit about that with Paul. But I was listening to the GRA on the Pat Kenny show this morning, and they were talking a little bit about their concerns around kind of policing of protests. And they mentioned Coolock and they mentioned other places. They mentioned the protests outside Roderick O'Gorman's home as well over the weekend. And Simon Harris separately today kind of expressing his concern about this. Are you concerned about the direction of travel we're on?
I think anyone watching the soap opera that is the Gardaí at the moment, like by any stretch of the imagination, it's a bit of a shambles where you've got the commissioner uninvited from a conference, and you've then followed on by the minister not being able to attend because she's supporting her commissioner, who thought anything else was going to happen. I don't know where what planet anybody was on thinking anything other than that was ever going to happen. And I think the events outside Roderick O'Gorman's home, I think, are not the first time they've happened, but they were very, very concerning on a whole host of fronts from a democratic perspective. They were intimidating. But also, I think the Gardaí standing by is a feature we have seen on a few occasions. And I think we mentioned before, the riots are probably the only riots that ever took place in the world where the Gardaí were photographed without any batons in their hands. And I think having a number of masked individuals outside any family home in such an intimidating way without any direct intervention. And we heard some coverage afterwards saying somebody akined the fact that there was a short TikTok videos. This was the level we're at now. Because of the short nature of the TikTok videos, they weren't there that long. This is the reporting we had afterwards. So that sort of behaviour is very concerning. In a democracy, it's very, very worrying. It's going to prevent people from running for election. It's going to prevent good people coming into an election. And despite clowns jumping up and down, protesting at decisions people made, and Roderick O'Gorman, for anyone who does know him, is an excellent public representative. Has he made some mistakes? Absolutely. Haven't we all made some mistakes? But ultimately, he's a good, decent person. You know, this will terrorise people from going forward for election and will do us all harm and damage from preventing good people from going for election, whatever your views are. That's what the ballot box is for. Mm. Take your balaclava off, get up off your arse and run for election.
Yeah, because I know Leo Varadkar was quite keen to stress, Niamh, when he stepped down, that it wasn't because of the toxicity of kind of debate. Mm. And he was encouraging anybody who had any interest to kind of go forward. I mean, it's one thing for kind of an outgoing Taoiseach to say that in an interview. I mean, that kind of pales in significance when it comes to influence compared to videos of people protesting outside your private home.
It's horrifying. I have two young children at home. If I had any political aspirations to run for office, I mean, there's not a hope in hell I would do it now after seeing something like that. It's not worth the risk. I mean, can any of us imagine looking out the window and seeing, you know, a bunch of people with balaclavas on outside your house, your private residence, your place where you're supposed to be safe, you'll be able to close the door and just be yourself. It's horrifying. And I am not surprised if this, you know, would make people think long and hard, you know, about pursuing any sort of political office. I mean, it's really, really menacing, I think, what happened. And it's scary, and it's sort of it's kind of a dark tone, I think, of what occurred. You know, it wasn't a protest. That is not a protest. A protest takes place in the Dáil, in the city centre. That's where you go and you make your point. You don't go to somebody's private home in balaclavas and hang messages on their private home. Mm. You know, if you want to make a point, go and do a protest in the Dáil where these people actually work. And also, as David said, take off your balaclavas. If this actually was a protest, as they're saying it was, why do you have balaclavas on? Why aren't you showing your face? Why don't you have, you know, the moral convictions, you know, of what you're supposedly protesting about, and take off your balaclavas? It wasn't a protest. It was an intimidation, plain and simple.
There's an argument that you legislate against this type of thing, David. And then the counter argument that some make is you know, you're kind of trampling on people's civil liberties by curtailing the right to protest. But yeah, then I take Neil's point that, you know, a protest by its nature is meant to be disruptive. That's the idea of protest. Like, this wasn't disruptive to anyone other than Roderick O'Gorman and his family.
Everyone should be able to protest in a normal, you know, peaceful way. Look at all the people who have been out almost every weekend protesting in solidarity with the people of Palestine. None of them have balaclavas on. They're going out peacefully and they're making a point. That's a protest.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think there's also Roderick's family, there's also neighbours. Like, this is very intimidating. I know Leo Redcar also had protesters outside his home in recent years, as did Simon Harris, as did Stephen Donnelly. Like, you know, this is a deplorable invasion on someone's privacy, and indeed, it's unsettling for everyone. It's unsettling for anybody. I had the fortune and misfortune to run for election in a by-election many years ago. And again, with that comes a significant level of abuse, irrespective of it being truthful.
Were you prepared for that abuse at the time?
No, not at all. No. Nor was any of my family or anybody else, because it was just a reactionary thing to run at the time. And again, you become a lightning rod for every single solitary thing in the world, from one end of the globe to the other end of the globe, from one end of a pothole to the other end of a pothole. You become that lightning rod. Whatever happens, it's your fault. And worse still, if you engage with that as a newbie, as many people do, it becomes a bit stronger. But I think going outside someone's home, as Neva said, with a balaclava is menacing. The word is menacing and is intentionally designed to be menacing. That must be stamped out. And, you know, many people object to government policy, myself included, and many people lobby and many people argue ding-dongs with TDs and senators and ministers from all parties and opposition parties, and will support various projects that are ongoing at the time. But ultimately, that is not a way to conduct business. And we want to need good public representatives to stay in politics. And by the way, the lulas with the balaclavas need more than most, need people in this state to provide good services and improve services. Will they make mistakes? Yes. Go do it in the ballot box. Go protest in outside the Dáil. Go join in proper protests. Don't be thugs.
Thugs is the key word, because it does. I mean, the lack of intervention then from the Gardaí, to bring it back to that issue as well, Niamh. I mean, it emboldens thuggery, doesn't it? I heard Anton was talking about kind of people in balaclavas on the Malahide Road just stopping cars and banging on the windows and screaming abuse. Like, what that has to do with government policy, I don't know.
Very little.
It's just people are emboldened. They kind of feel, well, nothing's going to happen here. I'll see how much I can push this.
That's it, exactly. And as far as I can tell, nothing has been done so far after this happened. There was no arrests made. I know there was only short videos, you know, that I saw on social media, but I know the guards were there, but I'm not exactly sure what they did. Did they talk to these people? Did they tell them to leave? Did they caution them? I don't know. I know there was no arrests made. And I know that, you know, the Taoiseach has said this is concerning. I mean, God, that's the understatement of the year. I mean, something needs to be done now. A marker needs to be put down. You know, if any of us, whether we're in political office or not, looked out the window and saw people out there with balaclavas on, your first instinct would be to call the guards, and you would assume they'd do something to protect you, to stop this from happening. So, you know,
the purpose of a balaclava is to hide your identity.
There's an intent there.
There's an intent to do something that you can't be seen. You've already trespassed by putting up the stuff around the houses.
Yeah.
You've already disturbed
the evening
time.
There's a menacing intent. There's a threatening intent. You don't know what they're doing there, but when someone covers their identity like that, you think, well, are they going to hurt me? Are they going to do something to my property? Are they going to break into my house? What are they doing there?
I mean, maybe I'm just old fashioned, but like, when you see Gardaí sitting in the car, it's a bit unusual to be seeing a bunch of lads out there with balaclavas and all the lads sitting in the car and girls looking on. Like, that thing, actually talking to them through the window in one of the Garda cars. Like, you know, okay, you don't necessarily want an old mini riot outside, but you need to have a very clear understanding to say you're on private property, you're all there with balaclavas. Mm. You know, if I went through a red light, I'd be pulled over and stopped in a heartbeat. I don't understand.
But I know you'd never do.
Never do. Never do intentionally. But I can't understand how you can intentionally rock up to somebody's home. Mm. Anyone's home. This isn't just have to be a government minister and you've got an issue that's there and you're there. It's just, anyway, it's deplorable behaviour. It can't be tolerated. And many people who said that at the weekend, by the way, Kieran, got abused. We all got abused online, and I never had a very therapeutic session at the weekend by blocking so many people on social media. It was very therapeutic. But ultimately, this is where we're at. We're at a very delicate crossroads at the moment in our democracy.
Well, listen, David mentions his flagrant disregard for the rules of the road. So let's talk about these interlockers in cars. This actually is interesting, because I've often talked on this show, and we've had guests on talking about maybe a slight reluctance or an apparent reluctance to rely on technology to deal with some kind of issues around safe driving and the proliferation of death and destruction on the road. So the EU are looking to introduce these. What are they, Niamh?
Well, I hadn't actually, you know, probably heard about them until recently. I think the idea is you put it into your car and you take a breath test, and if you're over the limit, the car won't start.
Very simple. Simple technology.
It sounds simple, but what strikes me most about this is, isn't it sad that we've gotten to the point where this has to be considered? I mean, can we not, I don't know, take a bit of responsibility and not get behind the wheel of the car after having a few drinks or feeling a bit rough, you know, the next morning after a night out? Like, I just, we were doing really well in terms of drink driving in the past. And I don't know what's happened. You know, this year has been really, really bad for road deaths so far. And, you know, I believe that drink driving is a factor in that. And I think anecdotally, you know, people saying, ah, I'll be grand after one, you know, or maybe even two, I'm just going down the road or whatever. That sort of attitude might be sneaking back in. And you'd wonder why.
Enforcement. You know? You didn't get away with it.
No, you get away with it. I think it's get away with it. And I think speeding, mobile phones, there's a whole clatter of things. And I never understand, for the younger drivers, and the technology is there now with the younger drivers and for all vehicles to stop them and cap them and govern them at certain speeds, not to be able to break speed limits. They can be done remotely. There's earlier technology 10 years ago where parents used to get a text message for their teenage kids who were driving cars, say, Johnny has exceeded the thing. It was actually Carlos.
All the technology exists.
It's there.
And I don't understand the reluctance, really, because whenever, say, a Minister for Transport were to come out and say, I'm going to kind of hike up penalty points or hike up the fines or introduce new rules to the road, you'd have the usual people out complaining, saying, you know, we don't need any more rules. What we need is enforcement of the rules. And actually, enforcement of the rules is partly, a big part of it is the Gardaí. But it's also stuff like this. This actually enforces the rules. If you've kind of limiters on cars that stop you going above the speed limit, that is enforcing the law.
Yeah.
Yet the same people would oppose it.
Johnny will have some fella hired to be blown into the thing every morning to get you up to start. Yeah. You'll drive past the pit stop.
Side business.
And the non-drinkers will be queuing up to blow into it.
But I think,
like, the enforcement is very, very...
You could charge. You could hire yourself out as a teetotaler.
Yeah, well, as a teetotaler, that'd be very useful for me. I could into locker to get it going. But I think the enforcement is critical. And as Niamh says, behaviour. We have to get away from being able to try and get around these things. These are lives. Like, the damage that's been done so far this year in these road deaths and all of the stuff, the mobile phones, the enforcement, and the heavier the fines, the better to dissuade us all from breaking those rules, because ultimately only those who see the death and destruction as a direct result of the road accidents will they ever actually understand that. The objective in life should be never to ever experience that. For those who have seen it, those who have experienced it, from frontline services to families involved, anything that can be done to try and prevent this happening in the harshest possible way needs to happen.
On the protest issue, one listener says it started at the libraries when the library in Cork was closed. There was no Garda intervention because of the staff being, after the staff were intimidated, one group then emboldens another. Another listener suggests we need to call an election. It would solve all these problems. Stop being so nice. Those people should have been arrested outside the Dáil. And a couple of people talking about the barriers outside the Dáil. Protest at the Dáil, should they fence it off and it can't happen anymore? And somebody else says, while I don't agree with people protesting outside TD's homes, I think it isn't helpful that the streets surrounding the Dáil are blocked off to prevent protest on numerous days recently. If people are to protest, it should be at the Dáil. It is a fair point, but they're not entirely blocked off. There's barriers usually at the end of, is it Molesworth Street or...
Right by the Shelburne.
Yeah.
And there's outside Bewley, Buswell's, and then at the top of the...
But you're within spitting distance when you're outside Buswell's with a good wind behind you of the Dáil, and you're perfectly entitled to protest. You just can't block the entrance anymore. Yeah.
You can't block the entrance or strap yourself to the railings.
Yeah.
Any of the advanced protesting stuff.
Yeah,
and like we democracy has to conduct, business has to be conducted. I think I was there one of the days when the protests, I met Dara O'Brien and came out when the protests, where they had the famous gallows and everybody was up on the gallows, and staff were nervous of leaving the building. Like, it's an intimidatory area. Like, you can have levels of protest and there's in your face protest where someone's following you out of the building.
But it's just that there seems to be this idea, this notion that somehow it's kind of been blocked or banned, or you cannot protest. You absolutely can. You're just, and as opposed to being half a foot away from the entrance, you're kind of 10 meters away.
10 meters back, that's all.
That's all. But you can absolutely protest at the Dáil any day of the week if you want to. Other people getting in touch about kind of drink driving. Why can't we have road fines linked to a percentage of your wages? Brian in Dublin says, until we have checkpoints outside pubs at closing time, we won't be taking drink driving seriously. Listen, before you go, something else we're going to talk about later this hour is our recycling, or our lack of recycling in this country. So we have a target, Niamh, of I think 70% of all plastics are meant to be recycled, or 50% rather is the target. We're not at 50%. We're incinerating about 70% of plastics in this country. And actually on a kind of a house by house basis, if we put it that way, it turns out we're really bad at splitting things up in the right way.
I'm not surprised. I think, like most people yesterday...
None of us included in this.
No.
We're all amazing recyclers.
I was out and about because the sun was actually out for once.
We all got sunburned.
Yes.
David got sunburned on his head. You got sunburned on your legs. I got sunburned all over.
Yes. But I bet our children didn't get sunburned. We slathered them in SPF. I was down at the beach with the kids. It was, you know, gorgeous day. Packed everyone up, packed everything. Picnic, all the rest went down. Had a great time. Was walking back to the car and walked past one of those big bellies, and it looked like it had had a trash explosion. The amount of rubbish, just the bin was clearly full. That didn't stop people. They just put their pizza boxes, their fast
food stuff. Oh, they kept piling them up around.
It was like the bin had exploded with
trash. Like a bin when you were in college.
No, 10 times worse.
Really?
This was horrific. I've never seen anything so disgusting. And the maddening thing was, you know, 100 yards down the road, there was another bin that actually wasn't quite as full. People were just too lazy to walk down. Right,
sorry,
and put their
it's
stuff
a little
in.
Like the protest thing again. Sorry, not to link everything, but once one person does it,
I know.
You see, once one bag left beside it,
people think, oh, it's fine.
Oh, that's grand.
Just
someone else
all
has done
my rubbish
it now.
Here.
Yeah.
So I think this speaks to maybe our kind of weird relationship, you know, with our rubbish. And I think, I don't know what's going on, but there's something rotten. You know, when people think it's okay to leave just bags of trash beside a full bin when there's a, you know,
I think it gets very complicated. Like, it is very complicated having this green bin, this black
it's
bin,
it's not that
brown
complicated.
And then
though, really.
You have it at home and you think you're doing great at home with the separation. Some of the labels aren't that clear at all in relation to separating stuff. And then you go outside, the next thing, there's only one bin. One bin fits all. When you go out, 80% of bins in Dublin currently are only one bin. You dump everything into it. So it completely disarms you. It completely regresses those of us who are trying to be as progressive as we can in relation to the green stuff, the green
but
carry
I think
on.
Most people, like at home, I mean, I don't think any of us would throw food in the recycle bin or throw a nappy in the food bin or something like that.
I know, I burn nappies.
My God, it's like a hole in the ozone over your house. Yeah. I think most people's intentions are good, but like it's parts of it can be confusing. Like, you know, we have the milk container. Is the lid also recyclable? I'm not
really
sure.
Well, you know what? And it's not a complaint I have about it, but it's kind of the piece that's missing from this picture often, I think. And it's the same with the deposit return scheme is, nothing in the systems we have incentivizes the producers of all of this to make less. Mm. It just incentivizes us to recycle more.
And pay more.
Yeah. But there's no incentive to actually start giving us things in paper bags as opposed to... I bought kind of four pears in the supermarket the other day and it had plastic around it. It had a kind of a foam tray. And then it had inside the plastic, it had a hard plastic with four kind of pear shapes so that they would maintain their kind of the direction that they've been placed kind of artistically.
In case
inside.
There'd be a bruise on it and you wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Anyway.
It's over the top.
No, there's no incentive to end any of that. The incentive is on me then to split all of those up into the right bins. And I don't mind doing
people.
That, but why not just send me the pears in a paper bag?
You get the right bins. The food part's easy. You get the right bins of the plastic and stuff. It's getting very technical.
You drop it up to my house.
I'll burn it for the right price.
All right, for the right price.
I'll bring it to the red light.
There's not enough guards to enforce that stuff anymore.
No, they're all busy.
Burn away
they're
to
all
my heart's
Westport at the moment having a chat.
Oh, it's 1400-106. If you have any suggestions about how to best burn nappies, David Hall, the CEO of iCare Housing and of Lifeline Services, Niamh O'Reilly, freelance journalist. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Both of you for joining me on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.